السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله، عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، أما بعد. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask Allah azza wa jal to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we mentioned yesterday that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He spoke to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam directly. He spoke to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam directly, as he azza wa jal states in the Noble Quran, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He spoke to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So can someone remind us as to what the first command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was? To pray, is it? To remove his slippers, like we mentioned. فَخْلَعْ نَعْلَيْكَ, to remove his slippers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, O Musa, فَخْلَعْ نَعْلَيْكَ, remove your slippers. إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى, indeed that you are in a blessed valley, like we mentioned yesterday, known as Tuwa. Now the conversation goes on between Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Allah azza wa jal. A brother met me yesterday after the talk and asked me whether I'm reading all of the ayat from the same surah. No. In terms of the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, like I mentioned, I think in the very first session, the first episode of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, his story is scattered all over the Quran. But for our discussion, inshallah, I will mostly rely on Suratul Qasas as well as Surah Taha. That the ayat that I'm reading are mostly from Suratul Qasas and Surah Taha. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the Noble Quran in regard to what He informed Musa alayhi salatu wa salam about. إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. O Musa, indeed I am Allah, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا, there is no God other than I. فَاعْبُدْنِي, worship me, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, and establish salah for my remembrance. Pray to remember me. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. In regard to this particular ayah, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, establish salah for my remembrance. There are some people who have this misconception, and they say, it's actually a deviant belief. They say that dhikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is much greater than as-salah. They differentiate between salah and dhikr. So the dhikr that they are talking about is the dhikr perhaps that you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah wa alhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah Allahu Akbar. That kind of adhkar is better than as-salah. And some of their leaders, they claim that the leaders have attained certain stages in this spiritual journey of theirs. So now they no longer need to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It would suffice for them because they sit in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from morning to evening. Basically they sit in a place and they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they needn't pray. This is what the leaders of that particular faction say. And also the followers are very ardent believers in that. They say that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is up there. And they even go on to at times quote ayat out of context. They say that the khatib, the preacher, who reads the sermon every single day, every single Friday, towards the end he says what? I'm sure most of you also might recall. What does he say? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِدُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَعْلَى وَأَوْلَى وَأَعَزُّ وَأَجَلُّ وَأَتَمُّ وَهَمُّ أَكْبَرُ. You know, in different formations. Anyway, to, you know, cut it short, towards the end, they say that the khatib, he says, وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُ. In the sense, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest, and is greater than even salah. And the khatib fails to translate it, so all these scholars, they're hiding this knowledge. They're not, you know, informing the masses that dhikr is actually greater than salah. The thing is, they have not understood the ayah. The scholars, rahimahumullah, hafidahumullah, are not hiding anything. There is nothing to hide. Basically, the explanation for that is salah is the greatest form of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, who are these so-called leaders of their factions in comparison to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of ibadah? Are their leaders closer to Allah, or was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam closer to Allah in terms of ibadah? But did he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever leave his salah? Did he ever leave his salah? Did he say, now I'm a prophet, I'm very close to Allah, so I don't have to pray. You beginners, you have to pray until you come to this particular stage, and after you also don't have to pray. This is what they claim. The salah is for beginners. You're just, you know, ibtidaiya, you know, like you're like in primary school. And then as you work your way up, you don't have to pray. You can stay from morning to evening in dhikr, because after all, they quote the ayah very quickly. وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. The remembrance of Allah is the greatest, even greater than salah. Now why did I go into this? Because if you look at this ayah, it just struck me. Look, Allah says unto Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Establish salah for what purpose? For my dhikr. In other words, to remember me. So from this also we understand that salah is the greatest form of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no other form greater than salah, because Allahu Akbar, sajda, you're in such a close position in terms of, you know, ibadah. You're prostrating unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is such a beautiful posture where you are praying unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supplicating unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how on earth can dhikr, you know, eclipse salah? Obviously, we say that dhikr is very important, you know, but can someone leave the five obligatory salah and then focus on a dhikr and, you know, not pray fajr, dhuhr, asr, maghrib, isha? Impossible. This is something completely outside the framework of sharia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of understanding for all of us. Ameen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went on to inform Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا لِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا تَسْعَى. That verily, إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ. Verily, the hour is coming, the final hour is coming. أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا لِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا تَسْعَى. And it was from the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep it hidden. No one knows when the day of Qiyamah is going to take place. This is something hidden in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one, not even our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not even Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, no one knows when the day of Qiyamah will take place. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when the day of Qiyamah will take place. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not know the complete world of the unseen. No. And this, we don't mean it in a disrespectful way. This is something that the Quran teaches us. Whatever was revealed unto Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows about it. He informed us about it. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّهُ. This is not my statement. This is our maker himself declaring it. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ. The keys of the world of the unseen are with Allah. لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّهُ. No one knows about it except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Famous hadith of Jibreel. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the guise of a human being. And one of the questions he put forward to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fa'akhbirni ani sa'ah. Tell me about the day of Qiyamah. When will the day of Qiyamah take place? When will the final hour take place? What was the reply of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Mal mas'oolu anha bi'a'lama min as-sa'il. The one who is being questioned, i.e. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knows no better than the questioner. In other words, you Jibreel, you and I, We are on the same level in regard to the knowledge of the Day of Qiyamah. We don't know about it. And who is saying this? The best of creation, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest of angels, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. This is something hidden in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only He knows when the Day of Qiyamah will take place. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went on to mention or instruct Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam, فَلَا يَسُدَّنَّكَ عَنْهَا مَنْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِهَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ فَتَرْدَى. Therefore, let not the one who believes not in the Day of Qiyamah, divert you from this. Let the one who does not believe, فَلَا يَسُدَّنَّكَ عَنْهَا مَنْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِهَا. The one who does not believe in the Day of Qiyamah, let him not divert you away from it. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ فَتَرْدَى. And he is someone who follows his own lusts. Today you have many people, who question and say, why do we have to, do so many good deeds? What's the purpose of this life? Is there really a creator? Is there really a maker? Why should we believe in this world of the unseen? Why couldn't God do this? Why couldn't God do that? Why couldn't God just, manifest a huge miracle for the whole world to see it? And then we would all believe in God. Why should we believe in an unseen being? They come up with all kinds of arguments, okay? And they generally try to fall back onto science. But science is good. But there are limitations. I mean, even science, day to day, they keep on exploring, finding out new things, correcting themselves, because after all, they're human beings. One question that they still cannot answer is in regard to the ruh. They talk so big. They talk, we are atheists, we are this, we are that. But they can't answer a simple question in regard to the ruh. But they affirm, they attest, yes, we all have souls. So what about the soul? Can you tell us something about the soul? I mean, you have advanced so much in terms of technology. Your leaders are Darwin, Einstein, and all of these individuals. So tell us something about the soul. They don't know anything about the soul. All they know is, I was reading the other day that just sometime back, an experiment was conducted. Someone was on his deathbed, and this scientist, he basically weighed that individual's body. And right after his death, the body decreased by a few grams. So all that they know about the soul is that, it's something that weighs a few grams. This is it. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Noble Quran? وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, they come to you asking about the ruh. Tell them, قُلِ الرُّوح مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. The ruh, the soul, is from the matters of my Lord, is a command from my Lord. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. You have not been given knowledge in that regard except for a very little. Our knowledge in that regard is so little. Allahu Akbar. We don't have, substantial knowledge in that regard. Tell them to, expound on death. Can they clarify on death? They have, advanced so much. Has anybody ever escaped death? So do you really want to remain in a state of disbelief and risk the fact that right after death, the veils are going to be lifted and then you're going to realize, oh, what a fool I was. I should have just believed. I tried to be a smart aleck. I tried to, question all of this. I tried to be the scientist of the year. And now look where I am. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and, keep us steadfast on the straight path. Ameen. Now the conversation goes on, and now this is the part where the amazing, things are going to start occurring. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now we describe Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. How did he make his way to the blazing fire? What was he wearing? He was wearing clothes. He had wrapped himself with an animal skin to keep him warm. And what did he have in his hand? An iPhone 6, right? What did he have in his hand? He had an asa. He had a stick, and he was wearing what? To na'alayn. Now we mentioned this earlier because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to remove his two slippers. So now that's out of the way. Now what was in his hand? He had the asa, the stick in his hand. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he asks Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, Ya Musa,
وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى.
Oh Musa, what is in your right hand? Amazing question. Do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not know what is in the hand of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? Obviously, there's nothing hidden. Even if Musa alayhi salatu wasalam were to, you have those sticks that you can fold them up and make them small sticks, those collapsible sticks. Even if it was that even if that was the case, and if Musa والسلام, had hidden the stick, you know, still Allah would know. There's nothing hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this was a conversation with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. You understand? So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And just amazing, because in his excitement, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, just look at his reply, okay? Allah azza wa jal asked him, "Oh Musa, what is in your hand?" Okay? And look at his reply.
قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَىٰ غَنَمِي وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَىٰ.
Oh Musa, what is in your hand? Says, "Ya Allah, that is my stick. I lean on my stick. I, you know, beat down branches with it. I look after my sheep with it. I do this, I do that." You know, he goes on explaining about it because he's so excited. He's so excited. Come on, I mean, he's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, say for example, if you had something in your hand, and if I were to ask you, say if you had a pen, "Brother, what's in your hand?" "That's a pen." And then that's, you're not going to tell me this is a Parker pen, this is a Cross pen, this is a Mont Blanc pen, "I write with this, I do that." You know, you won't give me all the details unless like you're awestruck and, you know, starstruck, you know. That's how, you, when you're excited, you start to tell things. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was so excited. You know, he went on to describe the usage of his stick and what he... It was a stick at the end of the day. It was an asa, just a stick. But then he goes on to make that the most interesting object to him. You understand? Because he was so excited. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, "Oh Musa, فَأَلْقِهَا يَا مُوسَىٰ." "Oh Musa, throw it down." "Oh Musa, throw it down." So this was a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam immediately complied. He immediately threw his stick down. What happened? The minute his stick struck the ground,
فَأَلْقَاهَا فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى.
He threw the stick down. Lo and behold, it became a snake, a huge serpent, moving about, writhing about quickly. The minute it struck the ground, it became a snake. And not just a normal earthworm kind of a, you know, water snake kind of a thing. A huge serpent, like a cobra. Now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was petrified in the middle of a desert, okay? There's a fire blazing, he's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now his stick, that stick that he has been using for so many years, put yourself in the shoes of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the stick that he had been using for so many years, the stick that he had, you know, praised so much now, you know, and said that he has so many usages with it, he put it to the ground and it became a writhing huge snake. He couldn't believe his eyes. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was petrified. Allah azza wa jal mentions in the Noble Quran in another place,
وَأَنْ أَلْقِ عَصَاكَ فَلَمَّا رَآهَا تَهْتَزُ كَأَنَّهَا جَانٌّ وَلَّا مُدْبِرًا وَلَمْ يُعَطِّبْ.
Oh Musa, throw your stick. He was commanded to throw his stick. But when he saw it moving like a snake, he turned in flight. كَأَنَّهَا جَانٌّ. Jan in the sense, it was like a jinn. It was like a jinn, a stick changing, transforming a solid, immovable, inanimate object, becoming a live serpent. You know, it was like a something, you know, like a jinn story, right? So mudbira, he, you know, turned back out of fear. Walam yu'aqib, and he turned in flight. He wanted to run away. He moved because it was a snake. We are all scared of these creepy, crawly things. So he moved. He was so scared, he moved. He wanted to run away. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now this is the next piece of amazing advice. Some people just skim over it. You know, the other commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we clearly understand. Establish salah, you know, about the day of Qiyamah. These are things, you know, these are principal foundations. But these few subtle commands, we tend to quickly skim over it. Like, remove your slippers. Oh, remove your slippers, and then we skim over. But we don't understand the gravity, the lessons that can be derived. Now, this is the other command, you know, which is a very subtle looking command, but has a lot of lessons behind it. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell Musa alayhi salatu wasalam?
Ya Musa, aqbil wa la takhaf.
Oh Musa, go close to it. Go close to it and fear not. Ya Musa, أَقْبِلْ وَلَا تَخَفْ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْآمِنِينَ. You are of those who are safe. You are of those who are protected. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it was a great miracle, of course. And a great lesson to prepare Musa alayhi salatu wasalam for that which he had to face. Because you and I, you know what paralyzes us the most? Fear of the unknown. This is what paralyzes us. It is that fear that generally leaves us in a frozen state. He was scared, now he froze. You know, he literally froze. Because fear gripped him. Fear gripped him. And this is what happens to us as well. We remain paralyzed due to fear. Most of us are generally afraid to try. Why? Because we are afraid of failure. We are afraid of failure. That's why we are afraid to try. That's why we are afraid to take that step forward. That's why we are afraid to take a leap of faith. Because we are afraid of failure. So as human beings, we have this natural element of fear. We have this fear of the unknown. You know, when we were kids, I'm sure, you know, we were, I would say it differs, but still some were scared of this particular dark closet, this dark cupboard. Some kids were scared to look under the bed because there's this boogie monster under the bed, or this boya, you know, coming out of the cupboards. And some kids were scared of certain rooms in the house. Some kids were scared of a particular doorway because it used to look dark. And most of us, why are we scared of the dark? As human beings, we're scared of the dark. I mean, maybe not at home, but if you're in a scary place and suddenly the lights go off, we're all scared. We're scared that something may grip us. We're always scared. It's this element of fear that generally, you know, brings about crazy things. Crazy things. Sometimes, you know, it's just a branch, you know, rustling against your window. And you think, oh, jinn, you know, the jinn, ifrit has come into my room now. And it's going to take me away. Or you just see a shadow moving, a cat. Maybe a cat just went walking, you know, passing by your room window. And that shadow kind of like intensified, amplified, and it looked like one big, you know, jinn. Some monster has come, an alien has come. Let me tell you all a story. I've said this before as well. There was once a boy. Once a boy who went on a camping trip. He went on a camping trip. You know the story? He went on a camping trip. And he was on his way back after the camping trip. I mean, they go hiking, camping, whatnot, you know, by the mountains and stuff. And he's getting back home, it was very late. And it was a dark night, and now a storm was brewing, and it started to rain. It started to rain, cats and dogs. Now he was wet, it's dark, not a soul to be seen. And he's wondering, it's a long way to the town as well. So he was just praying and hoping that a vehicle would pass by so he could hitch a ride. So he could hitchhike. So while he was hoping, you know, his backpack on his body, and he's making his way down the mountain, suddenly he sees a pair of headlights looming up ahead. So then the minute he saw the headlights, you know, his hope started to rise because, alhamdulillah, a vehicle, I can perhaps hitch a ride. So he quickly, you know, stands by the road and, you know, the universal sign for hitching, he shows the sign. The car comes to a stop by him, and he thinks, alhamdulillah, you know, what a kind soul, it's raining, and you know, he didn't even question. Well, normally these days, I mean, it's a little scary thing to take strangers into your vehicle, you never know, right? So he was hoping that this person might see that I'm a young kid, then he might help me out. So he jumps into the car. Happily, he jumps into the car to get out of the rain. No sooner he jumped into the car, you know, fear gripped him. You know why? There was no one in the driver's seat. And trust me, this is not that the Google self-driving car. This was just an old car. Okay, so he got into the car and there's no one in the driver's seat. Now he was petrified, and before he could process what was happening and before he could, you know, digest his surroundings, the car started to move. Now he was petrified. He didn't know what to do. How's the car moving? And then now whilst he was, you know, thinking and, you know, contemplating on what to do, perhaps to jump out of the car and what to do, he realizes, he sees a diner, a restaurant, you know, coming up ahead. And he thought, from where did this restaurant come up from? Let me jump out quickly. Now, he was just debating whether to jump out of the car to open the door. Suddenly, a hand comes through the window and turns the steering wheel. And where does it turn it? It turns it towards the diner, towards the restaurant. Now, this boy, the minute he saw the hand, he was petrified. It looked so scary, wet and white. The car comes to a stop by the restaurant. This boy, he runs. He just gets out of the car and he runs storming into the diner, into the restaurant. There were a few people inside the restaurant. He starts to cry and tell them, about the story of this haunted, spooky car that picked him up and came and dropped him at the restaurant, about the hand, about all of that. Now, even the people in the restaurant were also now getting scared because it's a dark night outside there. They don't know what kind of, you know, these are aliens perhaps, or jinn, or who has come, you know. So whilst they were listening to the boy's story, suddenly the doors of the diner open and they see the silhouette of two individuals standing by the doorway. Two figures by the doorway. And these two figures come inside and then they realize that they are two men. And then one man tells the other man, pointing at the boy, "Hey mate, you know, he's the guy who got into the car. He's the idiot who got into the car whilst we were pushing the car." The car had broken down. They were pushing the car, right? And this guy, they had perhaps stopped. They didn't know about him. They had stopped to perhaps rest or take a, you know, a breather or something like that. This guy had got into the car. The hand was no jinn. This was the guy who was pushing the car. His hand came in through the window and he turned it towards the restaurant. But this guy who got in, his imagination took hold of him and, you know, it blew the whole thing out of proportion. Now just imagine if these two guys had not entered the restaurant, this guy would have gone all over town telling everybody about his spooky haunted car, and that would have become a story, you know, to that town. They would have narrated the story to their children and onto their grandchildren, and the whole spooky car story would have become so prominent within that town. So this is generally what happens. You go to any town, I'm sure you must be having enough and more spooky stories over here. You go to any island, any country, any town, you have... every country has their own fair share of stories to tell. So this is generally most of the time because of what element? Coming back to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, what's the element? Fear. This is the element that makes us see things, hear things, and at times even do things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach Musa alayhi salatu wasalam a lesson, because now he is going to not meet a jinn. He is going to meet one diabolical monster, tyrant, super evil guy. Who? Fir'aun. He's the biggest jinn of them all. He's going to meet him. So this fear element won't work with him. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam needs to be courageous. He needs to stand his ground. Because Fir'aun can be up to all kinds of tactics and all kinds of things. He's an evil individual. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was prepping Musa alayhi salatu wasalam for this encounter with Fir'aun. We at times tend to, you know, skim over the ayah, but this is a very powerful lesson. If you speak to counselors today, psychologists, they will tell you how important it is, a lesson that you must overcome fear. Because if you don't, and if it's very difficult, some people, they don't want to get married. They don't want to get married. Not that, you know, they don't like women or any of that sort. They do. But it's just that fear of getting committed. You know, they're just so fear of commitment. Their fear of commitment, their fear of something new, because they don't understand it. Generally, we fear when we don't have a control of, you know, our surroundings. And that's why we have this fear of falling. We have this fear of falling because we don't know where we will land when we fall. That's why we're scared of falling. Why do, you know, you have phobias. People have phobias. Some people have, they're claustrophobic. They don't like to be in closed spaces. They don't like to go up in elevators, you know, cramped stairway alleys perhaps, because they have this fear of narrow spaces. Some people are scared of crowds. Some people are scared of socializing. Some people are scared of, you know, interacting. You just Google phobia, you have Allahu Akbar, a list of phobia. Hundreds and hundreds of things people are scared of. You know, sometimes it's so peculiar. Some people are scared of just the most absurd things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ameen. And cure them of that, you know, unnecessary element of fear. They're so scared at times. So this fear, like I said, at times, you know, petrifies and paralyzes an individual. You know, when books of history mention, when Christopher Columbus first sailed across the ocean, people were so petrified and frightened, you know, in regard to what? That he may fall off the edge. Because they thought of the world as flat. They could see, like, if you go by the beach, yeah, you will see that, okay, the sun is setting. So they thought that was it. That was the end. So if somebody passes that, like, if you can't see the ship anymore, okay, he's fallen off planet Earth. Maybe, you know, he's crashing down the universe. But is it true? Today now we fly, we sail, we know now. This is the intellect of human beings. Only now we know that the planet is round or not round, like an egg perhaps, and this and that, you know. So generally, because of fear, we tend to, you know, not move forward. It becomes that mental obstacle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want that mental obstacle to curb Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, because he had a huge mission ahead of him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to take the right decisions, because fear at times prevents you from taking the right decisions in life. Fear is such a scary element that it prevents an individual from taking the right decisions in life. And normally an individual chooses to run away from the situation, just as how? Who ran away? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, walla mudbira. He ran. Fear generally makes you run away from a situation, thereby losing valuable opportunities in life. Because you're gripped with fear, you run away, you lose that opportunity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach Musa alayhi salatu wasalam a powerful lesson. Ya Musa, aqbil wa la takhaf. Face your fear. You translate aqbil as face, face. In the sense, face what? Face the snake? Not the snake, face your fear. Face your fear and look, what does Allah say? وَلَا تَخَفْ. And do not fear. Do not fear. And as believers, we are empowered with something else. What is it? إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْآمِنِينَ. You are of those who have been given protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As believers, you and I, we are all empowered with the fact that we are protected by Allah. If you read your morning, evening adhkar, if you read Ayatul Kursi, the last three surahs, Qul Huwallahu Ikhlas, Suratul Falaq, Suratul Nas, these are all, you know, fortresses of protection for all of us. So we are empowered with that as well. So as believers, we cannot have this element of fear. Why? Some of us even ran away from the cockroaches. The other day I was praying in one of the masajid. I won't mention which masjid. I tied my takbir, and there was this cockroach that comes running now. I noticed it, and I just, you know, my thoughts drifted as well. I was just thinking for a split second, what if it goes up my leg? And then I thought, you know, who cares? I'm in salah now. The brother next to me, he started to panic. You know, he was like this and this, and now he's worried now if it goes up. Now, he wasn't happy in salah at all. And I was thinking, now what's going to happen? Is he going to leave the salah or what? And I'm in the qiyam or tarawih, I can't remember. I was praying, and he's lifting his leg. And then after salah, you know, I think the waswas got to him. Now, he thought it went up. He got up and left after salah, maybe to check his trousers perhaps. You know, it's fear. It's a tiny cockroach. What can it do? You trample it, squish, it's gone. And who cares if it climbs your leg? It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to go anywhere. The tiny, you know, not the big ones even. Not the ones they show you in the advertisements for those repellent sprays. The tiny one, you know. Maybe the masjid came in from somewhere. So it's generally fear. Fear of a cockroach. Some are fear. Some are scared of, you know, they have the fear of rodents, rats. You know, rats, mice, whatnot. You know, we need to get rid of all of it. Obviously, I mean, I'm not saying that now you become so brave that you're not scared of a lion and things like that. And those are things that would grip any individual with fear. But generally, we need to kind of tone down this element of fear so that, you know, we don't become paralyzed and frozen in different situations. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, Ya Musa, khudha wa la takhaf. Grab hold of it and don't fear. Once again, don't fear. سَنُعِيدُهَا سِيرَتَهَا الْأُولَى. We will return it to its former condition, to its former form. We will turn it back. Just grab hold of it. But you need to make the initiative. You need to get rid of your fear. Now you need to put yourselves in the shoes of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. This is a writhing serpent, a cobra. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, grab hold of it. Grab hold of it. You need to first grab hold of it. You need to feel that rubbery, scaly skin of the snake, and then we will turn it back. Then once you have, you know, overcome your fear, it will go back to its former, you know, state. Allahu Akbar. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he complies, he obeys the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he grabs hold of it, it becomes his trustworthy asa. Again, the asa that he leans on, that he, you know, drives his flocks with, that he plucks leaves with, you know, okay. Now it doesn't end there. The second sign, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, O Musa, وَضْمُمْ يَدَكَ إِلَى جَنَاحِكَ تَخْرُجْ بَيْضَاءَ مِنْ غَيْرِ سُوءٍ آيَةً أُخْرَى. O Musa, draw your hand to your side. Draw your hand to your side, you know. And then you take it out, it will start sparkling white color. It will be sparkling white. you know, like a pearl, like a jewel. This is another miracle bestowed upon Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions,
Usluk yadaka fi jaybika takhruj bayda'a min ghayri su'.
O Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, usluk yadaka fi jaybik. Put your hand in your pocket. I mean, I don't know how his pocket was, so don't ask me how his pocket was. Maybe it was a breast pocket, maybe it was a side pocket, wherever the pocket, put your hand in your pocket, right? And take it out. It'll come out, takhruj bayda. It'll come out white, sparkling white, min ghayri su, without any defects whatsoever. It'll be fully white, you know? And not just like you wore a white glove, no. It will be sparkling like a jewel, like a pearl. You know, that was another miracle bestowed upon Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَذَٰنِكَ بُرْهَانَانِ مِنْ رَبِّ. Now these two things are two signs from your Lord, إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْن وَمَلَئِ. And these signs are for Fir'aun and his people, you know, the elite crowd of Fir'aun. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا فَاسِقِينَ. Verily they are a nation who are fasiqun, rebellious, disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, O Musa, idhab ila Fir'aun innahu tagha. O Musa, go to Fir'aun, because verily he has transgressed all limits. Musa, go to Fir'aun, because he has transgressed all limits. Take these two signs with you and go to Fir'aun. Now why these two signs? Like I mentioned the other day, I won't delve into it too much because we have covered a little more content. Basically, there was a lot of magic present at that time. Why do you think the miracle of this ummah is the Qur'an? The miracle of this ummah is the Qur'an. Because at the time when the Prophet ﷺ, Muhammad ﷺ was appointed as a prophet, poetry and eloquency was at another level amidst the Arabs. They used to take a lot of pride in poetry. They used to take a lot of pride in eloquent speech. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the most eloquent of all speech that just, you know, blew their minds. I mean, when Arabs, when they look at the Quran, they knew for a fact that this cannot be from a human being. This is something divine. This is from God. This was a miracle sent to the people of Quraysh, the Arabs rather, I'm sorry. Now when you take Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, what did he do? We'll talk about his story, but he cured people. People, you know, lepers, people who were afflicted with leprosy and things like that. Because at his time, there were a lot of advancements made in terms of the medical field. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down miracles to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam accordingly. Now during Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, on the other hand, magic was prevalent. Like I said, Egypt has a strong history of magic. Hieroglyphics, amulets, talismans, symbols, numbers, all the works basically. They had a strong history in regard, they have a strong history in regard to magic. So Allah subhanahu, and you will see later the amount of magicians that come, you know, for the competition, for that, you know, showdown with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So from this we understand that there were a lot of magicians, and even, you know, Fir'aun, his courtiers, the ministers, when you talk about the religious leaders at that time, they were all magicians. They were well versed in magic. So the signs were accordingly sent to baffle them. When they saw, they knew their magic was, you know, kiddies, you know, clown magic, their magic that they used to do, you know, put the coin inside here and make it vanish from the other side. But when they saw these signs, this is, you know, this blew their mind. But talk about it, all those magicians fell down and they said, we believe in Musa, we believe in the Lord of Musa, because they knew this isn't magic. No human being can do this kind of a thing. This is the true thing. This is a miracle bestowed upon him, and he is the messenger of God. They all believed in him. You understand? So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam with two such signs. But now, from this we understand that he was entrusted with what? The responsibility of, you know, prophethood, and he had to go to Fir'aun. But now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had two issues. He had two issues. And he starts off. He informs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي قَتَلْتُ مِنْهُمْ نَفْسًا فَأَخَافُ أَن يَقْتُلُونَ.
O Allah, إِنِّي قَتَلْتُ مِنْهُمْ نَفْسًا. I have killed someone from them. I have killed a man from amongst them. فَأَخَافْ أَن يَقْتُلُونَ. And I fear that they will kill me, you know, in retaliation, they will kill me. This is issue number one. Issue number two,
وَأَخِي هَارُونُ هُوَ أَفْصَحُ مِنِّي لِسَانًا وأخي هارون هو أفصح مني لسانا فأرسله معي رد أن يصدقني إني أخاف أن يكذبون.
And Ya Allah, my brother Harun, he is more أفصح مني لسانا, he is more eloquent in speech than I. Okay, فَأَرْسِلْهُ مَعْيَ رِدْآ, so send him with me as a helper, as a supporter, to confirm what I am saying. إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَنْ يُكَذِّبُونَ, because I fear that they will belie me. To confirm what I'm saying, in the sense, say when he, if Musa alayhi salatu wasalam were to say something, and if he were to find it difficult to perhaps articulate it, because he said that his brother is more eloquent in terms of speech, and also we mentioned that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had a stutter, had a little bit of a stammer. So these were things that were worrying Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, because I mean, today, many of us have this fear of what, another fear, you see, have the fear of what? Public speaking, we have this fear. You know, back at home we have these programs known as, it's prevalent all over the world, Toastmasters, I'm sure some of you might be aware of it, is to train your public speaking skills. Some people, you know, they're gripped with stage fright. The minute they get on the stage, and the minute they see the crowd, words don't come because they're gripped with fear. So, this is another thing. And now look, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, where is he going? He's not just going to address a crowd in the marketplace. I'm just saying, if the president were to invite you to, you know, address at the president's house, maybe an iftar, we're inviting everybody, all the notables, all the important ministers, brother, I want you, okay, to come and address everybody. You will be, you know, at a loss for words. I mean, if that was your first time. I mean, if you're a seasoned speaker, alhamdulillah, you'll go and do your job. But if not, you'll be at a loss for words. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was not doing Toastmasters and whatnot at that time. He was a shepherd. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entrusts him with this responsibility of going to Fir'aun. Fir'aun, and the issue is, he'd already killed someone. And now he had to go and do what? Call Fir'aun to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Fir'aun who is saying, أنا ربكم الأعلى, I am your Lord the Most High. This Fir'aun, this evil tyrant, he had to go to him and, you know, convey the message. So this was troubling Musa alayhi salatu wasalam a bit. And that's why he said, my brother is more eloquent than me, so let him come with me as a supporter. And then he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beautiful dua.
قال رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي.
He prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رب اشرح لي صدري. Oh Allah, open up my chest for me. What does that mean? Open heart surgery? Open up my chest for me? No, this is a metaphorical meaning. Oh Allah, expand my mind, you know, broaden my horizons, you know, so that I think in a very broad way, open up my mind in the sense, fill my heart with knowledge, with, you know, with the correct words to, you know, say. وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي, and ease my task for me. Now, this is a big task, a huge mission, you know, it's next to impossible, you know. So, وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي, ease my task for me, because Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he knows about Fir'aun. What an impossible character he is. This is mission impossible for Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي, ease my task for me. وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي, and untie the knot which is on my tongue. You see this knot? This is the knot I was mentioning the other day, this stammer, this stutter. وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. Ya Allah, untie this knot on my tongue so that they, who they? Fir'aun, his courtiers, the ministers, the viziers, all of them, so that they understand my speech. It's not just the stammer and the stutter, but give me the correct choice of words. Sometimes we want to put forward an idea, but we use the wrong choice of words, you can basically start a revolution. If you use the wrong words, you can start a revolution. Maybe you want to put forward a very innocent idea, but just the wrong choice of words, the wrong usage of words, can make everyone annoyed with you. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all, you know, the ones who are on public speaking platforms, to put forward what they want to put forward, basically the truth, the correct message, using the best of words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to do so. Ameen. So, after this dua and after these two issues were highlighted by Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah azza wa jal answers Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's dua.
قَالَ قَدْ أُوتِيتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى.
Oh Musa, your request is granted. we have granted your request. قَالَ سَنَشُدُّ عَضُدَكَ بِأَخِيكَ, and we will strengthen you, we will give you, you know, in terms of support, your brother. وَنَجْعَلُ لَكُمَا سُلْطَانًا, and we will give you both sultana. Sultana in the sense power, authority. Commanding authority, where you will be able to basically come, when you speak, everybody will listen to you. فَلَا يَسِلُونَ إِلَيْكُمَا, and they will not be able to reach you, in the sense they will not be able to harm you. بِآيَاتِنَا أَنْتُمَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَكُمَ الْغَالِبُونَ. فَلَا يَسِلُونَ إِلَيْكُمَا بِآيَاتِنَا, they will not be able to harm you because of what? بِآيَاتِنَا, because of the signs that we have given you. أَنْتُمَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَكُمَ الْغَالِبُونَ, you two as well as the ones who follow you will be the غالبون, will be the ones who are victorious. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the ones who are victorious. So very swiftly, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he reaches Egypt, okay, after this incident, after meeting, after discussing, after getting back to his family, meeting them, informing them, discussing all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed him to tell them about. He gets to Egypt, tells his family there as well, and he informs Harun alayhi salatu wasalam about this huge responsibility, and they don't waste any time. Immediately, both of them, they go to the palace. Whose palace? Tipu Sultan. No, Fir'aun. They go to the palace of Fir'aun and they knock the door. The guard comes and opens the door. Yes, what can I do for you? What do you want? They say, we want to meet Fir'aun. Okay, but who are you? You can't just come in and demand an audience with Fir'aun. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, yes, I know. But tell Fir'aun that it is I, Musa, who has come to see him. Musa, which Musa? Musa ibn Imran. Musa, the son of Imran. So, the guard, he rushes to Fir'aun and he tells Fir'aun, oh Fir'aun, someone has come to see you, and he says his name is Musa. And Fir'aun says, which Musa? The guard says, Musa, the son of Imran. Musa, the son of Imran, after all the crimes that he has done, and after he ran away and fled as we have been hunting for him, and now he comes to my doorstep. Let him in, bring him in. So Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, now he enters with his brother, Harun, alayhi salatu wasalam. Both of them, they go inside, and then they say, Fir'aun. And he is surrounded by his ministers, viziers, courtiers, all of them are around. Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, addresses Fir'aun. He addresses him in a harsh manner? No. In a very diplomatic, soft manner. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to do so. Even though Fir'aun was such an evil tyrant, Allah said, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيْنًا. Oh Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, speak to him mildly. Use soft words. لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرْ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Perhaps he may accept. You know, he may, لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرْ, perhaps he might remember, and he might, you know, come to his senses, or يَخْشَى, he might fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So speak to him in a very nice way. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam addresses Fir'aun in a nice way. And this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Shu'ara. قَالَ أَلَمْ نُرَبِّكَ فِينَا وَلِيدًا وَلَبِثْتَ فِينَا مِنْ عُمُرُكَ سِنِينَ. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he addresses Fir'aun. He tells him about the message. He tells him about the fact that he had been appointed as a prophet, and he calls him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fir'aun looks at him in a very skeptical way, and he asks him, O Musa, أَلَمْ نُرَبِّكَ فِينَا وَلِيدًا وَلَبِثْتَ فِينَا مِنْ عُمُرِكَ سِنِينَ. Did we not bring you up amongst us as a child? Did we not, you know, bring you up as a child? وَلَبِثْتَ فِينَا مِنْ عُمُرِكَ سِنِينَ. And did you not dwell many years of your life with us? Did you not dwell in the palace, you know, with us? وَفَعَلْتَ فَعْلَتَكَ الَّذِي فَعَلْتَ. And you did your deed that you did. What deed is he talking about? The fact that he killed an individual. وَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And you are of the kafirin. He said, you are the ones who reject that. Fir'aun is saying this, you know, you kill someone and you are of those who rejected the crime. Now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, قَالَ فَعَلْتُهَا إِذَنْ. Yes, I did it. وَأَنَا مِنَ الضَّالِّينَ. And at that time I was ignorant. Ignorant of what? Ignorant of the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to entrust me with. فَفَرَدْتُ مِنْكَ. I ran away from you all. لَمَّا خِفْتُكُمْ. When I feared you. فَوَهَبَ لِي. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَوَهَبَ لِي رَبِّي حُكْمًا وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has granted me hukmah, religious knowledge, right judgment of the affairs, prophethood, and he appointed me as one of the messengers. Now you need to understand, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what did we say the other day as well? Fir'aun was massacring and murdering children all over the place. Okay, children, all the children, so many from the Banu Israel. So many from the Banu Israel. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam killed one individual accidentally, and Fir'aun was, you know, on a vengeance hunt to get his revenge for that, which is indeed oppression. I mean, they can kill however many they want from Banu Israel, but when one individual is accidentally killed from their people, they go on a complete manhunt and, you know, want vengeance, want revenge. So then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam informs him, وَتِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيَّ أَنْ عَبَّدْتَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. And this is a past favor, تِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيَّ, which, you know, تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيَّ أَنْ عَبَّدْتَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. This is a past favor that has been bestowed upon me, and the fact that أَنْ عَبَّدْتَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ, and this is something that you are against because you have enslaved the Banu Israel. You have enslaved and you're slave driving the children of Israel, the Banu Israel. So this conversation went on between Fir'aun and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. A heated conversation where Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked, Fir'aun asked Musa, وَمَا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, who is the Lord of the worlds? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam replies, and so many things happened in that conversation. So what exactly happened? Did Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, was he able to convince Fir'aun? Did he show the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Fir'aun? What happened afterwards? Was there something of a showdown that took place between Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the magicians? All of that, inshallah ta'ala, we will discuss it tomorrow. So I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.